This is the Patriots post-game show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com radio.
Ready? Back to throw. Play action. Fires down the field. Caught. Tight at the 40. 35. 30. To the inside of the 25. 20. 15. 10. 5. Count it. Touchdown.
The Patriots post-game show is your source for instant news and reaction following every Patriots game.
The Patriots are Super Bowl champions.
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Welcome into the Patriots.com postgame show. Patriots take care of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 31-14, second straight week. New England wins in blowout fashion. They improved to 2-0 in this preseason. You get your first look at Tom Brady, Chad Ochocinco, guys like Jerod Mayo on defense. We're live here inside our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. This is how you get in touch with the Patriots.com postgame show. You can call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. This is how you get in touch after another exciting, and you don't always want to say that in the preseason, but another exciting Patriots victory this time over the Tampa Bay Bucs. They were big winners last week, 25-0 over Kansas City. And after pitching a shutout, the Patriots defense shredded right through that Buccaneers secondary. Tom Brady lights out outside of a two-minute drill. In the first half, Brady 11 for 19, 118 yards, two touchdowns, one to Aaron Hernandez, one to Ochocinco. The running game on fire, specifically in that first half for the Patriots. Green Ellis with a pair of touchdowns. Patriots piled up 117 yards in that first half. A lot of it behind the left side of the offensive line. Logan Mankins and Nate Solder, who held his own again. And you also saw the pressure from the front of that New England defense. And Jerod Mayo, a name we mentioned right off the top, five tackles, two sacks, two pass breakups. You saw it right on the first series of the game where he had a pass breakup and a pressure. People who are excited about Jerod Mayo in the 4-3 defense, you can see why. And people who are excited about the 4-3 defense in general, you can see why. As the Patriots had their way with Tampa in that first half, this is how the first three drives looked in the first quarter. Touchdown, 16 yards, Brady to Hernandez. Touchdown, 8 yards, Brady to Ochocinco. 1 yard, Green Ellis touchdown run. They also punted before another Green Ellis touchdown run put the Patriots up 28-0. That was the score at halftime, and they never looked back. As it is the Patriots.com postgame show with Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Again, you want to give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline. It is 508-298-0398. Emails to webradio@patriots.com. Just a few housekeeping issues we want to pass along. You will hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick during this postgame show. You'll also hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, fresh off his first preseason action. And we'll also try to get you a player interview as well, as we'll go 2 hours following this 31-14 victory. And it was a lot further apart than that score would indicate. Let's go out to the phones, Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. And we'll kick things off with John in Dallas. What's going on, John?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well, man.
Hello?
Hey, what's going on, John?
Oh, I didn't. Just caught the game. Thought I'd call in and chat about it. So, yeah, I was really impressed with everything you said. I thought Mayo, yeah, I think Mayo actually, as a 4-3 inside or outside linebacker, is actually probably his natural position.
Kraft and Mayo go together.
Allows him to attack, allows him to do things that he's really good at. I really like the pressure that the Pats were, getting on, Tampa. I think one of the things that I was watching too is I was watching the tight end battle. We've got four good tight ends potentially in camp. I thought Yeatman had actually a really good game. Another solid game. I mean, he solid blocking, caught a pass or two. What do you think? Does he beat out Smith? Or do you see four tight ends on the roster?
Well, I don't know if he's beaten him out yet, John, and thanks for the phone call at 508-298-0398. You can give us a call back anytime. Look, I don't know if he's beaten out Lee Smith for that tight end spot, and I don't think the Patriots are going to keep four tight ends, but Will Yeatman certainly had himself a nice night. I know a lot of people were talking about the wham block he had on Green Ellis' 16-yard touchdown, which set up his 1-yard touchdown run late in that first quarter. So I think you saw a lot out of Will Yeatman, and I think you should read into the playing time he got tonight. Look, it's the difference between a fifth-round pick and an undrafted free agent, especially with a shortened training camp. I wouldn't be surprised to see someone like Will Yeatman beat out Lee Smith on this roster. And I think you saw the versatility that Yeatman has. Don't want to go overboard with one game. You saw how you can do that with guys like, oh, I don't know, Ryan Mallett, who came back down to earth a little bit this week. Same thing with Brian Hoyer. Same thing with Stephen Ridley, who ran well again, but who you saw a fumbling issue with in this game. And we'll get to some of our nitpicks throughout this as well. I did want to take you through my highlights and a lot of the good things we saw in this game. I think Tom Brady is right at the top of that list, looked very comfortable, especially operating the guys he was familiar with. Wes Welker in that first half, very effective for the New England Patriots. I also thought that Aaron Hernandez, effective as well. You see those guys. Welker led the way with five grabs for 56 yards. Had a big first down in the Patriots' two-minute offense, which, look, didn't turn to anything or turn into anything, but they were backed up in their own end. You saw on third and 10, Brady looking to Wes Welker. I think that tells you something. Aaron Hernandez, three grabs, three targets, touchdown for him. Again, you saw how shifty he can be as a tight end and what he brings to the table. And we talked a lot about that last week. People were worried about him putting the football on the ground. I thought he had an okay game last week, and he was that much better this week. So Brady at the top of the list, especially operating with some of those receivers he was comfortable with. And you saw Patriots can be very multiple offensively, in and out of two tight end sets, three wide receiver sets, some three tight end sets. That's where each of their first two touchdowns came out of three tight end sets, including the one to Ocho Cinco. So I just think for your first look at Tom Brady, he played that entire first half. I thought he passed every single test. Not that a lot of people around New England were worried about Tom Brady. Again, you can give us a call following the Patriots' 31-14 victory over Tampa Bay on the Ace Ticket Hotline. It is 508-298-0398. You can also email us, webradio@patriots.com. It is the Patriots.com postgame show with Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Just going back to the call we had a few minutes ago, and I agree with this 1,000,000%. Not just Jerod Mayo, although he was front and center, the guy who stood out. It was Eric Moore, Andre Carter, Jerod Mayo. That first unit defense, that first string defense, we haven't even seen Albert Haynesworth or Sean Ellis yet. So file that away. But that 4-3 defense, the way they let Mayo loose tonight, and who knows, maybe it had something to do with Josh Freeman. They identified something with Freeman, and it was a matchup. Who knows? But Jerod Mayo everywhere in the backfield tonight. He was breaking up passes. He was all over Josh Freeman. And I just think he's somebody I have been excited to look at. And I talked about this a lot during the show I host during the week, ESPN Boston Radio on ESPNBoston.com, every day from noon to 2. He's one of those guys that I was excited about and that I really wanted to see in that 4-3 defense. And I think outside of the offense, a lot of people are going to go to that, especially given up the way or given the way the Patriots piled up yardage at halftime. They were up 28-0. It was 117 rush yards at the half, 124 pass yards at the half. The offense was dominant. But listen to these Buccaneer drives to start the game. Three plays, 1 yard, punt. Three plays, negative 3 yards, punt. Four plays, so they're making progress. Negative 7 yards, punt. Mayo sack to end that drive. First drive of the second quarter, three plays, negative 9 yards, another Mayo sack, another punt. Fifth drive, three plays, 5 yards, punt. Stop me when this sounds familiar. Sixth drive for the Buccaneers. Nine plays, 23 yards, punt. And then they missed a field goal right before halftime. That was the first half for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, look, the offense was the story, but the defense put them in a great position in that game tonight. And those are some of the takeaways you have from that first half. I also thought the running game, both Danny Woodhead, who was dinged up at the end of that game, and Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis were excellent. Let's go to the podium now and hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. We'll get that to you in just a second here. Bill Belichick at the podium.
Energy. We're able to score and then, get the ball back, score again. So, I thought there was some positives there. We still need to be more consistent. Didn't really have a very good second half, turned the ball over. Didn't play very good on defense, had too many penalties. Had some penalties in the second quarter, too, that stopped us. So, we got a good evaluation of our conditioning down here. It was a good warm night. you know, I think we were able to see a lot of things. I think, we got a lot of work to do. There's a lot of things we need to sharpen up. But I think we, you know, played competitively. And, you know, we got a few things we can build on here, too. So that's get back out there. We got a good long week this week getting ready for Detroit. So we'll be able to hopefully clean up a few loose ends and, you know, continue to take another step in our preparations for the regular season.
Are you encouraged by the amount of pressure that the pass rush was able to exert in the first quarter, mainly in
the second? We'll take a look at it on the film. It looked like we had a little bit. We had trouble chasing these fast quarterbacks. So, you know, it looked like we made a few plays.
We haven't seen Gerald Mayo blitz as much as he did tonight. How did he look? I mean, I know what the stats say, but
how did he look for you? Yeah. I'm not sure how many times he blitzed. But, you know, Gerard's a good player. He really does everything pretty well. There's not a lot of weak points in his game. So, you know, he's worked hard on his blitz in, his man coverage, his tackling, his pass defense, run defense. I mean, he works hard at everything. And I'm happy for whatever success he has because he works as hard as anybody to earn it.
Great first stop by Tom Brady.
Well, I thought he did some good things. I you know, we had some other things that weren't so good. But, you know, Tom did a good job moving the offense, ran the team. I thought we had a good tempo out there. And, you know, I think there's some things he's got to sharpen up on, too.
Did you get a chance to get an initial report on Danny Woodhead?
You know, I saw him in a locker room. It seemed all right. So, I don't know. You know, we'll see how it goes.
You seemed animated after the hit. Did you get a look at it? Was it?
I'm just trying to coach our team and get them better.
Bill, on the sideline, it showed you speaking with Chad in the first half. Pretty animated in the discussion where you talked about his living situation and
yeah, just trying to coach the team and, you know, see if I can get them to play better. Some things we didn't cover, we need to, you know, came up in the game, so just try to do the best I can to help our team improve. And we still got a long way to go. We got a lot of work to do. So, you know, I got to do a better job, too.
Bill, are you concerned with the amount of headshots you had the past 2 weeks?
Yeah, well, I think you have to talk to the league about all that. You know, they're the ones that make the rules, and the officials are the ones that call them. So all we can do is go out there and play the game. Thank you.
Patriots head coach Bill Belichick live from Tampa Bay following the Patriots 31-14 victory over Tampa. Look, we told you this last week. Bill isn't exactly one to pump up a lot of the young players last week. Ryan Mallett, Stephen Ridley. Exactly, Bill. Brian Hoyer, whoever it was last week, very hesitant to pump any of those guys up. And you heard some of that tonight. He was asked about Mayo. He's asked about Brady. Those are veterans on this team. And he still said, yeah, Brady had a nice night. Mayo doesn't have a lot of weak parts in his game. He did say that Danny Woodhead seemed all right. Not totally sure what to glean from that. But Woodhead, one of the Patriots players dinged up in this game tonight. And with the way he's hit, the immediate first thought that jumps into your mind is, could it be a concussion? First thing that you think of when you see a guy get up off the turf like that. Other players dinged up in the game. Dane Fletcher left after two plays with a thumb injury, and Brett Lockett, as you saw, wheeled off the field with a thigh, it was announced, injury, though it looked like he was grabbing right at the groin. And we do have a report from Patriot Football Weekly's Eric Scalvino saying Woodhead walking around the locker room under his own power, smiling, talking with teammates. So I'd say that's good news, and it would line up with Bill Belichick saying he seemed all right. But again, the standouts in this one for me, Tom Brady, pretty clear one in his first action. Gerard Mayo, another pretty clear one. And I thought the running game, and that encompasses a lot of guys, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, Danny Woodhead, that left side of the offensive line I thought was immense. Nate Solder, again. Logan Mankins, again, or actually in his first action. So those were the standouts for me, and we'll get to some of my nitpicks coming up in a little bit. And yeah, there will be some nitpicks, even though it was a 31-14 blowout. You can give us a call on the A's Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. It is patriots.com postgame. Here with Adam Jones, we are live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Let's hit the phones. We go out to Fort Worth, Texas, where Nick is calling in. What's going on, Nick?
Hey, how are you doing, Adam?
Doing well, man.
What'd you think of the game?
Well, I thought, again, for the second straight week, regardless who was in there, I thought the offense was phenomenal, especially the first team offense, minus that one drive at the end of the first half that I think Tom Brady would like to have back. And I thought the first team defense was great as well, headlined by Jerod Mayo. When you're talking about the starters, honestly, there's not a ton to nitpick tonight, Nick.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. I thought they looked fantastic on both sides of the balls in terms of the first half. I wanted it not to be confrontational, but you talked about how you thought Logan Mank was good. During the first couple of drives, I think he really looked rusty. He got pushed back quite a bit, but he did pick it up during the second quarter, I noticed.
Yeah, I think you just saw by the end of the first half just the domination in the run game, and most of it was behind the left side of that line, be it Solder, be it Mankins. I gave you the number earlier, 117 rush yards at halftime, 124 pass yards at halftime. So the Patriots were pretty balanced. And even if Mankins was rusty early, if you want to nitpick that, I think by the end, especially when Green Ellis was piling up his touchdown runs, I think Logan Mankins would not be high on my nitpick list tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. What I really wanted to talk about was what I thought were some cheap shots taken by the Buccaneers, especially that hit on Woodhead. The end of the game, it's hit like that that really just aggravate me and irritate me. I just wanted to get your thoughts. All right, talk to you later.
Yeah, and Nick, thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You know, part of me just wonders why Woodhead was out there. And look, you have so many bodies in the preseason, and maybe you're trying to look at Woodhead on special teams, whatever it is. But when you look at him as probably your third down back this season, depending on what happens with Kevin Faulk, part of me just wonders why he's out there in that situation. But I hear what the caller's saying. Frustration. Maybe the Bucs taking a few cheap shots in a blowout of a game. I'll tell you what, I thought Brady might have come out of the game a bit earlier. We said Solder had another nice night tonight. But he did give up a sack towards the end of that second quarter, and we mentioned that Welker eventually converted the third down play. We also saw Brady hit when Sebastian Vollmer got beat and a pass intended for Ocho Cinco. So we saw a couple of hits by Tom Brady that kind of made you hold your breath, but you see him out there for that entire first half with how good he was. Anybody like myself who was wondering why Brady didn't play in that first game, wondering if there would be a little bit of rust on Tom Brady, that was put to rest as, again, Patriots scored on four of their first five drives of that first half as the Patriots offense came out and just rolled that Tampa Bay Bucs defense, which again, it was Kansas City and it was just a preseason game, but did just food for thought pitch a shutout last week, 25-0 against Kansas City. Let's go to the podium where Patriots quarterback Tom Brady speaking with the media.
We'll use it as a really tool for us to get better and hopefully come out and play better next week.
And you got Ocho involved early. Good to see him get a touchdown pass.
Yeah, it was. You know, it's just he's really finding a role for himself, and he's you know, been practicing hard. He's very competitive, and you know, it's a good group we have out there. So, you know, we just got to continue to build, and you know, all of us. It's just we haven't played in a long time, so everyone's a bit rusty out there, and you know, it'd be good to get back to practice this week so we can really take what we learned from the game and try to get better in practice.
Did you see the hit Woodhead took?
Yeah. I mean, you look out there and I got hit and I jumped up because it looked like him, but you know, he's a tough guy and he, you know, running off the field. I mean, he's unbelievable. Yeah, it was a good night and they always do a great job, so they take a lot of pride in that. It's a group that's been together for a while now, excluding you know, Nate, who's stepped in. But they fight hard. You know, I thought we ran the ball really well. We stayed out of, you know, negative plays for the most part. And you know, when you're able to stay on track like that and put a bunch of good plays together, you usually get in the end zone. Well, I mean, we expect to go out there and score. You know, I think we had six drives, four ended in touchdowns. We were good in the red area. You know, the one drive, we got penalized and didn't make much out of that drive, and the last one was the two-minute drive. So, you know, there was some good. There was plenty of bad. You know, I'm sure I'm going to see the film tomorrow and be disappointed with some of the things that I wish I probably could have done better. So, you know, we just got to build on it and to understand the things we did wrong and try to make the correction.
Tom, you were pretty hard on yourself a couple of weeks ago, last time we talked to you about long way to go and not having the offseason and all that. Is this the best belt or work you've played out there?
No. I think that there is a lot of things that I need to do better out there. I think there's a lot of things that we as an offense need to do better. I thought defense really got us the ball in great field position. Early in the first quarter, we took advantage of some of the penalties that they had. We got the ball, we got it moving, made some good runs, and made the plays in the red area when we needed to. But still too many things where we know we need to do a better job. So we'll all go in there and see the film and see the things that we screwed up and hopefully go out there and try to improve on it.
Was there anything specific that you saw with Sean Jones? Because you threw to his side twice and connected the two good touchdowns.
I mean, he's a very good player. He's an experienced player. Nothing that we tried to, really take advantage of. I think it just happened to be, there at that time. But he's an excellent player. He'll be a good player in this defense.
Get a little chill when you see what head for the shot like he did.
Yeah, he got hit pretty hard. I mean, that's football. I mean, there's guys moving fast out there, and especially on punt returns or any of the returns, that things are happening so fast, and he just turned his head, and the guy, really gave it to him good. So, he's, like I said, he's a tough guy. Everyone's worried about him as his teammates would be, but, he's hopefully okay.
You continue to have a lot of conversations with Chad, not just Craig ahead of time on the sideline. Is that just part of your process of getting into on the same page?
Yeah, we've missed a lot of time, and I think that's the reality of what's happened this offseason. We've missed a lot of time over the course of 6 months that we really couldn't do anything football wise. So a lot of it is just trying to continue to talk, and the only way you can make corrections is to communicate. So we're always trying to communicate between the two of us. And even with Dion and Wes, we haven't played football together in 8 months either, been on the field together. So a lot of it is all, the receiver group, tight end group, quarterbacks, skill guys really being on the same page. So you can anticipate the things that are going out there. You can play with confidence, and then you can go out there and make the tight plays, in those tight situations.
It's Patriots quarterback Tom Brady live from Tampa Bay following the Patriots' impressive 31-14 victory over the Bucs. Patriots move to 2-0 this preseason. You're listening to the Patriots.com postgame show with Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. We'll get back to your phone calls on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. Your emails at webradio@patriots.com. We're moving at breakneck speed here and do want to go out to the guest line and welcome in one of the key contributors to the Patriots victory tonight over Tampa Bay. Running back Ben Jarvis Green Ellis joins us live from Tampa Bay. And first of all, Benny, thanks so much for taking the time.
Oh, no, thank you for having me.
How'd it feel to get that first game under your belt this preseason?
It felt good, just to get back out there and, just hear the communication again, going through the things that we go through in the huddle and just to get a few hits on out there. And it really felt good.
How about running behind that new first-round pick, Nate Solder? A lot of your rushes, a lot of your carries came behind that left side, both he and Logan Mankins.
Oh, yes. Our entire line did a great job tonight of getting up to the guys who they had to get to and allowing us to just get through the first level and deal with secondary guys and linebackers.
Did it feel like a regular season game or at least a regular season plan of attack, Benny, where it was you and Danny Woodhead kind of rotating in and out and hitting them with your different rushing styles?
Whenever we approach a game, we approach it like it's a real game to us. We don't look at it as it's a preseason game or not. We go out there and give it our all for however long we end up playing. We're prepared to play 60 minutes.
Speaking of Danny Woodhead, your teammate took a big hit at the towards the end of that game. What'd you think when you saw that hit go down?
Say that one more time.
What was your reaction when you saw Danny Woodhead take a big hit at the end of the game?
Oh, he's a tough guy. I'm more than sure. I don't know what's, I'm not a doctor. I don't know the diagnosis on what's going on with him. But, he's a tough guy. So, we're looking forward to seeing him get back out on practice field as soon as he's able.
It's Patriots.com postgame show with Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Joined by Patriots running back Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. Got in the end zone a couple of times tonight, Benny, as did your newest teammate, Chad Ochocinco. You surprised that no end zone dances from Ocho when he scored that touchdown?
We're all just out there having fun. And, we know that whenever we score, it's not because of one individual. It's because it's collectively. Everyone did a good job. So it takes 11 people. So I'm more than sure that's what he was thinking about tonight.
What do you think the rest of the league is thinking about when you guys pile up 47 points last week and then 31 this week?
Well, I'm not really sure. We're just focusing on what we can control over here in New England.
in terms of the defense tonight, Benny, and I know the offense was explosive again here in this game tonight, but the defense with Gerard Mayo getting after the quarterback and getting you guys three and outs, really letting you guys stay on the field. What do you think about the defense tonight?
It was fun. Just to cheer on those guys. You know, it's three phases of the football game: offense, defense, and special teams. So, you know, we're looking forward to cheering on other guys when they're out there and making corrections on the sideline. So, you know, I'm glad that they did what they did tonight, and you know, obviously we came out of the game with the W.
And finally, Ben Jarvis, just looking at one of your understudies out there, Stephen Ridley. Obviously, a big week last week. Ran well again tonight. Fumble aside, what have you thought about him through two games this preseason?
We know, like I said, we know we're all out there. We're working hard to make sure we get better each and every week, and we know he's putting our best foot forward.
All right, Ben Jarvis, Green Elliott, Patriots running back, joining us here on the Patriots.com post-game show. Big night for Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis. Two touchdowns in the Patriots' 31-14 victory. Ben Jarvis, congratulations, and thanks for taking the time.
Okay, thank you.
Patriots do pick up that big win, and I think that running game, and I told you, the three things that I jotted down as big winners for the Patriots tonight. Brady, the way he spread the ball around in true Tom Brady fashion. Gerard Mayo, the way he got after the quarterback and the defensive pressure in general. But I thought Mayo was really the leader of that pack, along with guys like Eric Moore, Andre Carter in particular. But that running game, immense tonight.
200 yards as a team on the ground tonight.
Yeah, and I just think, you know, I'm looking heavily at that first half, but you're right. I mean, Ridley came in at the end of that game and fumble aside, ran real well for this club tonight. So, I don't know. I thought a lot of good takeaways from this game, and you can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Let's hit the phones. John is in L.A., and you're next up here on the Patriots.com postgame show. What's up, John?
Adam, welcome to the fresh Subway Fresh studio.
They're so fresh in here, it's not even funny, John.
Well, it's good to have you on. Really, really impressed with Andre Carter tonight, to the point where I don't want him to play in the preseason anymore. I want him to have the Haynesworth Moss treatment, where we're like, okay, you know what you can do. Because that was quite something.
No cash, homie.
And I think we've seen some of that in practice as well, or just being at training camp. You've seen flashes. Obviously, it's much more impressive when you see it in a game situation, but John, I think he was one of these afterthought guys. I think you saw a little bit out of Mark Anderson last week, by the way, as well, although, you know, you got to factor in who he was going against. But I think everybody focuses so much on Haynesworth, focuses so much on Ellis. I mean, Carter's been a double-digit sack guy a couple of different times in his career out of a 4-3 defense. I think tonight he showed a lot of Patriots fans why he can be such a productive pass rusher.
And you definitely saw what Belichick's been talking about in terms of, it's not necessarily a 4-3-3-4 thing. It's less read and react. We're saving read and react for your show, for your radio show, and more attacking. And it seems to be working well so far, really well.
All right. Well, John, we appreciate the phone call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Emails to webradio@patriots.com. As you pointed out, you can listen to read and react. That's on ESPN Boston Radio, Kevin. The highly rated ESPN Boston Radio, noon to 2.
I somehow think that Ben Jarvis Green Ellis interview might make a reappearance on that radio program.
I have a strong hunch that you could be hearing from Ben Jarvis Green Ellis on ESPN Boston Radio tomorrow on ESPNBoston.com. Let's rip through some of these emails. And again, you can get in touch with us there, webradio@patriots.com. KB in Atlanta writes in, Adam, great win by the Pats. The first string D and offense looked awesome. However, the second and third stringers still need a lot of work. And look, 31-14, it was 28-0 at halftime. I think that should tell you most of the story there. When you're talking offensively, a couple of turnovers in that second half. Ryan Mallett with a crushing interception. Maybe crushing is too harsh. Boneheaded interception. Let's go with that. Pick six for a touchdown. You had Stephen Ridley with a fumble. And again, on balance, I think he ran well. I would put him tonight in a similar category to what I had Aaron Hernandez in last week. Like, yeah, Hernandez put the ball on the ground. And if this is a regular season game, I'd put a lot more stock in it, especially if it lost you a game or if it was a tight game where you really look at it and say, well, okay, put the ball on the ground, tight game, could have lost him something. You know, tonight I just don't feel that way about Stephen Ridley. He came in late. He ran well. You saw those flashes again from the young back on the New England Patriots. I thought he ran, you could tell just by the way he runs, his running style, 14 carries, 84 yards, that's 6 yards a pop. So, yeah, the fumble, not ideal, but I didn't think he had as bad a night as some of those New England quarterbacks coming in off the bench. Both Ryan Mallett and Brian Hoyer struggled tonight for the New England Patriots. So on balance, I'd agree. Yeah, second string did have a rough night for the Pats tonight. Again, you can give us a call, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Look, just one other thought on why some of the second and third stringers came in and struggled. It's a 28-0 game. I mean, honestly, I mean, you want to see these guys focused coming in, but they're coming in a blowout. Guys are going to be cutting. That's human nature, so you're going to see some of that. Let's take another email here. Steve writes in to webradio@patriots.com. Hey, Adam and Kevin. See, Kevin, they're including you on these emails.
I like it.
Yeah, no, I like it as
well.
We've
been busy off the bat here, too. I haven't really said anything. So.
No, that's true.
That's some respect.
You know what? I don't think that's the way the listeners like it either. I think they want more Kevin.
I don't know about that. I think they'd rather hear from Ben Jarvis and Coach and maybe 12.
Moving at a breakneck speed tonight, Kevin. I got to tell you. Big right out of the gates.
We've had a hot start.
Belichick, Brady, Green Ellis.
It's a pretty good lineup.
Big time. Steve writes into webradio@patriots.com. Tonight's opening was the best anybody could ask for. Our secondary fizzled throughout the game tonight. I felt Mallett fell down a few pegs, at least in my eyes. No, it wasn't just because of the interception. That'll happen. I hoped he'd do more than hand off to Ridley. Hernandez looked better than last week, which is great, and that I agree with. I thought Aaron Hernandez, quietly, one of the standout performers tonight for the New England Patriots. Steve also writes, I thought Tom and the offensive line looked great. Ocho Cinco wasn't anything special, but he did take a hit and caught a touchdown. Yeah. Also, more on the Woodhead thing. He just asked, what'd you think of that hit on Woodhead? And we had a caller chime in on that earlier, Kevin. I mean, clearly, you have to wonder on special teams if they're just lining up a little guy like Woodhead looking to take him out. I don't know if cheap shot is the right word. I think that would be a better word for the personal foul that we saw on that second drive when Mason Foster just lit up Ocho Cinco. But I can understand why a lot of Patriots fans are upset with that hit on Danny Woodhead at the end of the game. My question, Kev, why is he out there?
It's a good question. I was trying to figure out why most of the Patriots starters were out there after those first two drives. I mean, did you see Brady get hit low a few times? Like,
no,
this
is what I was talking about. Vollmer got beat on, what was it, the first drive of the second quarter, fourth yep. drive of the game, and Solder right before halftime.
And after the injury back in 08, the last thing you want to see is people diving at Brady's feet. I mean, it just makes you cringe, especially in a game like this that doesn't mean anything.
No, I think cringe is the right word for it. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can also email us, webradio@patriots.com. It is the Patriots.com postgame show with Adam Jones. We are live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. When we come back here on Patriots.com, we'll give you our nitpicks because it wasn't all sunshine in the Patriots' 31-14 victory over Tampa Bay tonight. We'll do that next here on the Patriots.com postgame show.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson here to tell you about the second annual Mosi Tutupu Comedy Benefit. The Mosi Tutupu Comedy Benefit is back and better than ever. Tuesday evening, August 23rd, will feature special appearances by Hall of Famers John Hanna, Andre Tippett, Gino Cappelletti, as well as current and former professional athletes and local celebrities at Gillette Stadium. The evening will feature comedy performances by headliners Lenny Clark, Paul D'Angelo, Paul Narduzzi, Steve Sweeney, and more. With live auctions, silent auctions, and nonstop laughter, this event is a fun evening you won't want to miss. All proceeds will benefit the Mosi Tutupu Memorial Scholarship Foundation, which provides college scholarships to young athletes with learning differences, exemplifying the outstanding qualities that characterize our dear friend Mosi Tutupu. Last year's event sold out quickly, so be sure to purchase your tickets today. Visit the Patriots.com website for more details and to purchase your tickets. I look forward to seeing you at the second annual Mosi Tutupu Comedy Benefit.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from BeCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
What will that be on?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
What will that be on?
That's it.
Go Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Welcome back to the Patriots Postgame Show, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios, here's your host, Adam Jones.
This is the Patriots.com Postgame Show with Adam Jones. Go until 2 hours following the Patriots' 31-14 victory over Tampa Bay tonight. Raymond James Stadium. Patriots continue to pile up points offensively. Mostly good from New England tonight. I've given you my my highlights. I've also given you some of the injured players. Just wanted to get you up to speed on Danny Woodhead. And you heard from Bill Belichick saying that Woodhead seemed all right in the locker room following the victory. Mike Reese, Tom Curran, we already told you, Eric Scalvino of Patriots Football Weekly, all told you roughly the same thing. Woodhead in the locker room, spoke with reporters, said he's feeling all right. And I tell you, that's a good thing, that he's talking with reporters, that's a good thing for Danny Woodhead. So wanted to pass that along. We'll also get you our nitpicks from the game tonight. Because again, there are some things that you can look back at that game and say wasn't perfect for the Patriots tonight. Though it was mostly good in a 31-14 victory. Do want to read you some of the emails, webradio@patriots.com. You can also give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, reacting to the Patriots' 31-14 victory over Tampa Bay. Just reading from these emails. First one here is from Bob out in Big Sky Country. Big Sky, Montana, wants to know, what's the latest on Dane Fletcher? And honestly, all we know on Dane Fletcher, who had a great week last week and got the start in the middle of that defense tonight, for the Patriots with Brandon Spike sidelined. All we know with Dane Fletcher is a thumb injury. And you wonder if that's something that's going to sideline him. You wonder if that's one of those things that he could tape up later on in the preseason, or if it was a regular season game, would he have been able to stay in that game? Something we're going to have to speculate on. But we do know that it's a thumb injury for Dane Fletcher. He didn't return to that game tonight. Other emails rolling in to Web Radio at Patriots.com. Larry writes in, hey, guys, when a player gets his bell rung like Woodhead, is it a good idea not to fly? Like the show so far. Listen to the whole show on the podcast last week. Kevin, where can they check out the podcast following the program, just on Patriots.com?
Patriots.com.
It's nice and easy.
Nice picture of you right on the front of it.
I would avert your eyes from that.
Your nice little blazer.
Picture up on the website. I would try to not look for too long at the website. It's like looking at a solar eclipse. You don't want to do that. But you can check out the podcast following the program on Patriots.com. In terms of Woodhead, look, it sounds like he's okay by all indications of the reporters that are there. And again, Mike Reese, Tom Curran tweeted this out. Bill Belichick even said he seemed all right in the locker room after, so I think he's okay to fly back. But I think the bigger question with Danny Woodhead, why is he out there at the end of the game? You have 90 guys on the roster. There have been no cuts. So maybe you want to get a look at Woodhead in terms of special teams and see if he can get down there and make some hits and create roster value or just flexibility if he needed to go to Woodhead. But I don't know. Other than that, that would be my main question. Would the Woodhead hit beyond, is it a cheap shot? Beyond, how's he do? Why is he out there? So, look, it was Woodhead, it was Fletcher, the other Patriot, who was injured in this game tonight. Brett Lockett, the safety, who was listed with a thigh injury and said he wouldn't return. Lockett tweeted out, thanks for the well wishes, he'll be just fine. So, we'll see on that, but those were the three main injuries for the New England Patriots
tonight.
I'm
sure tonight. A lot of people were, you know, really worried about Lockett.
Well, Kardashian probably tweeted at him.
That's true.
Maybe she direct messaged him.
She was probably one of those well wishers.
She probably direct messaged him, because she doesn't want everybody knowing that she tweets at him.
She probably tuned into Don Crickey and Randy Cross. Yeah, she's loving it tonight.
I mean, Lockett definitely looked like the worst one, though. He had to get carted off the field
ugly.
Tonight. So it is good news that he just said he'll be just fine. You can give us a buzz on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can also email us, webradio@patriots.com. Do want to get to some of my nitpicks here tonight, Kevin, because that's just the kind of guy I am, right? They won. There was a lot of good from it. Obviously Brady, obviously Mayo. I thought the running game again in that first half was phenomenal, and a lot of it was behind Solder, which I just think is that much more impressive. And I'm not saying he's going to take over Matt Light's spot, but you got to wonder if Matt Light's sweating it out a little bit, right? Like we said last week, who are the guys who are really sweating it out? And when Taylor Price is catching passes all over the field, it was probably Brandon Tate last week. I don't know. I don't think Matt Light is worried about his roster spot being in jeopardy, but maybe he's looking at this kid and the way they ran behind him and the way, for the most part, he protected Tom Brady. Yeah, he gave up a sack late in that first half. And I'm sure the coaches are going to hammer that one home with him. But if you're Matt Light, you say, okay, this first round pick, I thought I had a year as a starter. You know, maybe I'm going to have a bigger fight on my hands than maybe I anticipated initially. And look, they gave him help at times with a tight end. At other times, they left him out there. They went four wide, or at least four receivers, spread it out, left him out there on his own. And I thought for the second straight week, Nate Solder held his own on that offensive line for the Patriots. So a lot of good. A lot of good, especially in that first half for New England. But I do have a few nitpicks, and the top of my list for that one is Tom Brady and Ocho Cinco, chemistry-wise. And I know that Ocho caught a touchdown pass. Like, I saw it. But I just thought on that deep bomb from Brady to Ocho when Ocho got blown up by Mason Foster. I thought that was a cheap shot by Foster.
Destroyed. Depleted.
I just think that you saw a little bit of, hey, I'm not saying Ocho should have caught it, but he had his hands on it. You saw a mix up on the sideline before the touchdown on one of the immediate plays preceding the touchdown where Ocho was either late out of his break or Brady was early with the throw, somewhere in between, but somewhere along those lines, chemistry wasn't right on. And then also on that hit that I mentioned a couple of times by Sebastian Vollmer, fourth drive of the first half, first drive of the second quarter, Brady seemed like he was holding on to the ball for a while and then finally rifled it in Ocho's direction while he was taking a hit, basically, from Sebastian Vollmer. While he's going down, he fired it in the direction of Chad Ocho Cinco. And you just wonder, and look, it's going to need time over the course of the preseason, but I didn't think their chemistry looked great. And I didn't think it was off the charts, and I thought it was one of the nitpicks from this game tonight. I agree with the email earlier who said, look, I didn't think there was anything special out of Ocho tonight. I know he caught the touchdown. But that was just a complete oversell by the defense with the three tight ends there playing run. Other nitpicks tonight. This one might be a little more obvious. The play of the backup quarterbacks was a pretty big step in the wrong direction tonight. After both had good weeks last week, you saw Brian Hoyer come in on, what was it, the third drive of the game. Brady came out for a play on the third drive. Hoyer replaced him for two snaps.
Everyone sucks but me.
He also saw Hoyer come in later on in the second half to replace Ryan Mallett mid-drive. But Brian Hoyer, not a great night, though he didn't get a lot of burn. Just 1 for 4, 6 yards. Mallett, little better when you look at the stats, 9 for 14, 71 yards, but that crushing pick that was returned for a touchdown to kick off the second half. So I just thought it was a pretty big step in the wrong direction for both those guys. And Ryan Mallett did get a lot of looks, or a long look tonight, from the New England Patriots coaching staff. I think one of the things you could glean, if there were any questions about it, and I speculated about this a little bit on ESPN Boston Radio earlier today from noon to 2, where I just said, is it crazy to think that Mallett could be the backup for Tom Brady and they'd trot him out there as the rookie, an untested rookie behind Brady? Because they did that 2 years ago with Brian Hoyer with less of a pedigree than Ryan Mallett. So I didn't think it was ridiculous. But I think he got a pretty clear indication that Brian Hoyer is the backup tonight. It's why he came in mid-drive, not once, but twice. So I thought that told you something about the way Hoyer was used, but I thought both of those guys took a step in the wrong direction. I also think, and I understand this one is real nitpicky, but I also think that that two-minute drill right before halftime, Kevin, and I know they were really backed up in their own end, what was it, at their own 3-yard line, but you saw the Patriots had a little bit, working right before halftime, where Brady was sacked by Solder, but then Brady's able to pick up the first down on a 16-yard throw on 3rd and 10 to Wes Welker. And you go, okay, here are the Patriots go. They're going to score again before halftime, or go get a field goal before halftime. And I didn't think the two-minute drill execution was excellent. And I understand that's nitpicky, but those are those situational things that you can't really plan for. I know Reese tweeted about this. Can't plan for it. It was a good opportunity for Brady and the offense to run that two-minute drill. Ocho was out on the field with them. You try to get that chemistry down. You try to get the play calling down. And they were able to pick up a first down, but they weren't able to convert it into points.
Time to play devil's advocate, though.
Sure.
If we're going to preach situational football, which Coach likes to preach all the time in practice, if, for example, this was an actual game and you're backed up on the 3-yard line with 2 minutes to go in half.
That's a fair point.
Now, listen. If you were down 28-0 at that point, I think, you know, what do you have to lose? You have to go and try to make something happen. But up 28-0 at that point, you know, you're most likely going to run the ball 3 times and, you know, take it to halftime. So I think you can blame part of it on field position on that one.
Well, and I think field position's a big part of it.
Yeah.
But I just think if you're looking back, you say, well, okay, 2-minute drill, especially after they picked up, especially when you take it into context, Kevin, that they picked up a first down. Yeah, it's not like they went 3 and out real conservative from their own 3.
The play that killed that drive was when Solder got blown up right there and Brady took the sack. And now,
they picked up a first down right after that.
Oh, was that?
Okay. Welker picked up a first down right after that. So I'm saying, like,
how'd they get backed up again? Was there a penalty?
No, it was that punt that was pinned right down at the 3-yard line.
No, but then, like, when they picked up the first down, right? I'm trying to think. I thought there was some sort of like negative play, a penalty or
no,
sack
right
or something
right after.
Like,
so it might have been, but right after the Solder sack, they picked up the first down with Wes Welker, and they were able to move the ball out of their own end. So you're right. I mean, honestly, if it's 28-0 going into halftime and you're backed up in your own end, they probably take a knee. If it's a regular season game, you can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. I think outside of the offense, and I don't know, in your mind's eye, and I asked this to Green Ellis, and look, these guys aren't going to give you anything on what's going on around the rest of the league or the rest of the league's opinion on the New England Patriots, so maybe it was a dumb question on my part. But what do you think the rest of the league is thinking when you look at this offense? 47 points last week with backups, right?
Oh, crap.
Another 31 this week with starters, and you saw some of that chemistry from the New England offense, and maybe Brady and Ocho weren't great. But Brady and Welker were on the same page. Not that that should be a shock. Brady and Aaron Hernandez were on the same page. So I just think the rest of the league is looking around and going, oh, crap, here they go again, piling up points. This is going to be another electric offense. And one of the things I think you could question coming into this game, and that you could question about this team coming into the season, how's the 4-3 defense going to look? How's the defense going to look? Are they going to be able to keep other teams off the board? Because the Patriots should be able to score with anyone in this league. And that's not a newsflash for you. And the 4-3 defense, I thought, for the second straight week, looked pretty good. Pressure after the quarterback, pressure up the middle, pressure off the edge with Andre Carter, Jerod Mayo firing right in Josh Freeman's face. You saw that with a lot of guys on this Patriots defense. Even Guyton got in the backfield a couple of times. So I think the two guys who really stood out, Carter was unblockable at points in this game. Jerod Mayo was a beast, and you saw it. You saw it jumping off your television screen on the first drive of the game. Three and out for Tampa. Mayo was involved on two of the plays. Pressured Freeman, broke up a pass, and he was right there to start the game. And he announced his presence with authority to begin the game. It was your first look at Jerod Mayo playing outside. I liked what I saw. Give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline here on the Patriots.com post-game show with Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. The Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Let's hit the phones. Dagmar is in Miami, Florida, and you're next up here on Patriots.com. What's up, man?
Hello, Adams. How's it going, man?
Doing well, man. Doing well after another blowout Patriots win.
That's good. That's good. Hey, it's nice to have a show actually on the website now after the games. I don't know what the plans are during the regular season. Are you guys keeping in mind to, like, having in mind to keep the show after each and every game?
Absolutely, man. We're going to be doing this after each and every game, preseason, regular season, postseason as well.
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about what you just mentioned on the defensive side of the ball.
Sure.
I want to actually talk about Carter and his accomplishment with this defensive scheme. And I recall listening to I don't remember if it was any of the radio shows or one of the shows that actually is I don't know if it was the Patriots Today show.
Yep.
Where they actually talked, or he actually speaks of how he was contacted by Coach Belichick, and he mentioned it that he hadn't already seen the potential he had. And keeping that in mind, and after watching the game today, I feel very, 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 very nice. I mean, very satisfied with his performance in today's game. I don't recall him doing that much on last week's game, but tonight he actually stepped up big time, and he had some runs into the quarterback, which is good, and some rally points towards the quarterback where you, in occasions, you could see up to three players rallying at the quarterback, and that's good, you know?
No, and Dagmar, I agree with you 100%. Thanks for the phone call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can call back anytime. You know, I just look at Andre Carter, and the first reason, you didn't see much out of him last week, didn't get into that game last week. But you saw when he's unleashed here in this game, you just see when people say that, you know, okay, well, there's still two gapping in this defense, and it's still a lot of the same principles. They're playing a 4-3 defense, but it's still a lot of the same principles. Well, yes and no. I mean, guys like Aaron Carter haven't traditionally, or Andre Carter, haven't traditionally played in this defense, and you just see the pure speed, the pass rushing ability out of a guy like Andre Carter. And I thought we saw a little bit of that with Mark Anderson in sub packages last week too. And that's hard to evaluate again, given the team and given that it was the first game and given that he's going against backups. But I thought Anderson last week flashed some of it in sub packages. Andre Carter, it was clear. It jumped off your television that Andre Carter knows how to get after the quarterback. He's been a double digit sack guy in this league. Part of the reason that he regressed to, what was it, 2.5 sacks last year? Because he was in a 3-4 defense. But I just think he and Anderson, even to an extent, are guys who have gotten lost in the shuffle a little bit with names like Haynesworth and Ellis coming in. And rightfully so, those are your big name guys on defense that you brought in on the defensive line. I get that. But I just think Andre Carter is a guy who can play in this league and can certainly get after the quarterback. And you saw the different dimension, the different wrinkle that he can bring in this 4-3 defense tonight. So everybody who expects the same defense, whether the responsibilities are the same, whether it's still two gapping up front, whatever they're doing, I think you saw Andre Carter and you saw a little bit of it from Mark Anderson last week. They're going to get after the quarterback a little bit more, it appears, out of this base defense. You saw it from the linebackers. You saw it from the edge tonight with Andre Carter. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can also email us, webradio@patriots.com. Let's hit the phones. Eddie's down in Florida listening on patriots.com. What's going on, Eddie?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, man.
Big win today. I have a question for you, though.
Sure.
Besides the pass rush looked pretty good today. But at times in the third quarter, I saw some of the starters in the secondary. The secondary looked a little shaky. Can I have your opinion on that?
No, I mean, I agree with that 100%, Eddie. And thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. You can call back anytime. You know, I just think it was interesting to see that the secondary stayed out there for a long period of time. The starters, McCourty, Arrington at corner, and then Chung and Merriweather. Though Merriweather was pulled on that third drive for Sergio Brown and then inserted back into the game. So you saw a little bit of that fluctuation in the secondary, but for the most part, they played to open the second half. For the most part, you're going to see those safeties out there. There's just not a lot of bodies out there. But I thought the secondary was shaky. And honestly, Darius Butler had a nice start to the night, right? Butler had a nice start to the night. Came out with a pass breakup towards the end of the first half in coverage on Mike Williams. And I jotted that down and I said, okay, because he was so bad last week and so clearly being picked on. I said, all right, Darius, that's what they've seen in him before. Then he got burned down the sideline late in the first half by Desmond Briscoe. Not complete, but got burned. And you're just like, oh man, he is so lucky that ball was overthrown. And then in the second half, got picked on again, got thrown right at. And I thought it was another one of those nights for Darius Butler where he's not in the thumbs-up category.
Same old.
Yeah, I can't imagine he's flashing too much on the coach's tape.
It's too bad, too. It's the same old song and dance year in, year out.
I mean, you're talking about a guy who is legitimately, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but legitimately in a fight for his roster spot.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's one of the guys who's, you say lucking out, but the fact that Rozai Dowling hasn't been on the field, he's got to be.
He's got to be. Thank
God. Going to be rooting for Rozai Dowling to be limping around a little bit more. Will Hite's another one of those guys for the New England Patriots. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. We're international, Kevin Collins. We are international. Let's hit the international phone line. Go to Lucas in Brazil. What's going on, Lucas?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing excellent, man. How are you?
Pretty good. I'd just like to add a couple of things. I was going to talk about Darius Butler, but you got rid of that for me. I thought, you know, I'm ready to consider him a bust, actually, because I thought he played really. I didn't see much good from him tonight.
No, I mean, Lucas, it was literally that first play, that coverage on Mike Williams, good receiver. It was good, tight coverage. I mean, he didn't break it up or anything, but he was just right there for the tackle. He was right there on the play, bang, bang, play. And I said, okay, maybe he came to play tonight. And then he started getting burned left and right. So I don't know anything else to call him other than a bust at this point, Lucas.
That's the thing with Darius Butler, though. It's just that he's always there, but he never makes the play. You know, I have that feeling. And I was actually looking at NFL.com and the game day thing, game center. Uh-huh. It's got all the stats. And Darius Butler came up with 4 tackles. That's second in the team in this game. I mean, if a quarterback has 4 tackles, that's not very good, right? I mean,
no, it means he's getting picked on just like last
curiosity,
week.
Andre Carter doesn't even show up in the stat sheet, and I thought he played real well. So that goes to show how sometimes the stats can be misleading. And an extra point,
sure.
I think in that drive that the Patriots had to punt the ball, it was actually Gronkowski had a penalty. I think it was illegal blocking or something. He started blocking before the pass.
So they punted twice in the first half. And no, you're dead on, Lucas. It was their fourth drive, first drive of the second quarter. Gronkowski with offensive pass interference. Then Vollmer, there was that mix up between Brady and Ocho, if you want to call it that, where Brady was really holding on to the ball. Vollmer let his man, I believe it was McCoy, come in on the play and hit Brady. And, that was how that drive went. That was their most disappointing drive of the first half.
Yeah, and they would have converted the first down if it hadn't been for the penalty. So.
No, and it's a good point. And Lucas, thanks for the phone call. Calling from Brazil, Kevin Collins on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Emails go to web radio.
Diehard Pats
at Patriots.com. Lucas, you can call back anytime. What do you think of this nickname? Just came to me. Darius Butler.
I like it.
What? Yeah? Haven't heard that one anywhere before?
No, I haven't heard
it. I feel like it works better in print, Kevin Collins.
Kind of sounds like a porn name a little bit, though. So you could get people confused right there.
Darius Butler.
Yeah.
Yeah. Think about that one. Let that one marinate for a little bit. Let me know what you think. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to web radio at patriots.com. Delania? I hope I'm saying that right. Delania.
Probably not, but okay.
I am pretty positive I'm not. But Delania writes into web radio at patriots.com. At least Mallett moved the ball. Hoyer stunk up the joint. And I don't know.
That might be harsh.
I don't know. I was going to lean the other way. I was going to say I think that's pretty fair, to tell you the truth.
Fine.
Hoyer came
Hoyer's in. My boy, though.
Look, now Hoyer was thrown into
the fire. He
right.
was in for
and
two plays.
And I think you could tell, you can glean from that, the fact that he was thrown in mid-drive, not once but twice, two different times, didn't do well.
No.
But I think that means, Kevin, that he's the backup. And I think that's pretty clear now.
I know that, but I mean, like, what happened last week when he started that game?
Well,
it was slow too.
But hang on.
And then all of a sudden.
But hang on. You say you know that. Like, would it be that crazy to think that Ryan Mallett could be the backup going into this year? When you talk about the depth on this team, you talk about the deep and talented roster and how guys are fighting for roster spots and you're trying to sneak guys through. Isn't the best way to do that with two quarterbacks?
Yeah, but I mean, if you had told me that Mallett was going to jump Hoyer this year, I would have been stunned.
Well, coming into camp,
yes,
sure.
Stunned.
But I just think, the more I think about it, it shouldn't be, the reason for it shouldn't be, it should be a pro-Hoyer thing.
Okay.
The reason for it shouldn't be because, you know, Bill Belichick is afraid to trot out a rookie who is inexperienced because he did it with Hoyer 2 years ago as the only guy behind Tom Brady as an undrafted free agent out of Michigan State. Not the same pedigree that you have with Ryan Mallett, who could have been a first-round pick. So that's my only point, and that should be part of the narrative. Like, maybe Ryan Mallett won't be the backup, but that's a Hoyer thing. That's because Hoyer is the better quarterback. It shouldn't be because, well, they don't want an inexperienced quarterback behind Brady. They've done that before. They did it 2 years ago, and they did it with the guy who most people feel is the backup quarterback. Emails roll into webradio@patriots.com. Brian writes in there, "Hey, guys, Solder was great on the first-team offense today. He made a couple of mistakes and bad snaps, but truthfully, I did not think he would perform the way he did today. He had his way on the offensive line for 80-85% of the snaps, and that's pretty darn good for his first game of the season against a good Tampa Bay first-team defense. Can't wait to see more of him the next couple of weeks in the preseason." Now, look, Brian, second game for Nate Solder. Second game, I thought he held up very well. But the first game where you really look at it and say, well, okay, he's out there with the first-team offense. He's going against first-team defensive players. Again, for what it's worth, just food for thought. Tampa Bay last week pitched a shutout in their preseason opener, a shutout. And I also wouldn't glaze over this, and maybe it had more to do with Mankins than Nate Solder, but the fact of the matter is, Kevin, a lot of the running game, most of the running game, with Green Ellis, Danny Woodhead, especially when you got down by the goal line with those couple of Green Ellis runs, a lot of it was behind that left side.
Yep,
and
left side, strong side.
Look, I mean, Solder had help from tight ends at times, and at other times he was left on his own, and I thought outside of the one play, outside of the play where he gave up the sack late in the first half, and look, that's one that I'm sure, and I said this earlier in the program, I'm sure the coaching staff is going to harp on that one.
Dante will get after him on
But I just think on balance, Kevin, he's been way better than I expected, way better than I anticipated through these first two preseason games.
Oh, it's a fair point. I mean, listen. The kids, what? How many practices did they have before?
It was seven padded practices leading into last week's game.
You have basically 2 weeks, you know, into your pro career, and all of a sudden you're playing in NFL football games. I mean, and that's, like, no OTAs. Probably, now, we had that gray area with the draft when the lockout was lifted briefly for those 2 days, so he may have gotten a playbook,
Yeah, I wouldn't be stunned at that one.
But I mean, you're looking at it, you're trying to figure out what's going on, but something tells me looking at a playbook and actually going out and walking through the plays are two different things. So the impressive part to me is this guy basically had, you know, no experience in this blocking scheme, if you will, and all of a sudden has basically stepped right in for Matt Light.
Now, interesting topic here. And one of the things I was looking forward to in this game tonight, getting our first look at Ocho Cinco. And when I say our first look, I've seen him at training camp. You've seen him in the walkthrough scrimmages, or at least I have. But for most Patriots fans, this was a night where you got a chance to go out and get your first look at Ocho Cinco.
Bill!
And I didn't think it was a great night. I don't know what Bill thought, but I didn't think it was a great night for him.
Pedestrian.
Kevin, I thought there were a couple of mix-ups between him and Tom Brady, chemistry-wise. And it was that play on the sideline when, what was it, the second drive right before his touchdown, actually. Down the left sideline. Either Brady fired it early or Ocho came out of his break late, whatever it was. You saw a bit of a mix-up there. I told you on the play where Vollmer gave up the hit right at Brady's knees, it looked like Brady was locked onto Ocho, waiting, and finally he rifled it in that direction when he couldn't hold onto the football anymore. I just didn't think their chemistry was great, and I know they got a touchdown today.
Yeah, and I don't think that's anything new, Adam, since he's been here, you know, sitting out in the media tent watching all these training camp practices, Ocho has struggled mightily, and you know many of the writers here in town have not given him a free pass.
So I got to tell you, I do still think he's going to have a good season.
Yep.
And I'm chalking it more up to one game, first game between these two, but I didn't think it was a great night. Didn't think it was a banner night for him. But even on a bad night, or even on a not great night, let's not call it a bad night, but even on a subpar night, Chad Ochocinco gets in the end zone, and you just forwarded me this back and forth.
It's a nice little night
he had with reporters. He was asked about not dancing after he scored in the end zone after his touchdown. And I asked Green Ellis about this earlier when he was on Patriots.com postgame show. And Ocho goes, well, I play for Belichick now. So follow-up was, so they're all done now? And he goes, I play for Belichick now.
It's pretty dry to me.
Look, I don't think that that should come as a shock. Like, can you imagine Bill Belichick, just the steam coming out of his
absolutely.
Ears if Ochocinco gets
a
15-yard penalty?
Game too.
I think in a preseason game, like, Ocho could almost get away with it.
You think so?
Like, I think it would be, they have a good enough relationship. You play the drop, right?
Okay.
They have a good enough relationship where maybe in a preseason game he could get one out of his system. And what a talk radio topic that would be if he did it in a preseason game. That'd be phenomenal. But there is no chance in hell he's pulling that in a regular season game because of what he just said. I play for Belichick now.
I play for
Beal.
Remember that whole charade last year prior to opening day? Now, the Bengals came here to kick off the season last year, and he made all those statements about how he was going to steal one of the musket men's rifles and fire it and all that. So I think the musket men can breathe a sigh of relief. Down here,
they don't have to worry about their muskets getting stolen.
They don't have to have their weapons commandeered now. All that's done with.
I'm sure they were sweating it out. I'm sure that's something they were sweating it out. As Ochocinco made his first appearance here in front of Patriots fans, or at least down in Tampa Bay, for the Patriots 31-14 victory over the Tampa Bay Bucks. It is Patriots.com postgame show with Adam Jones. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. What'd you think? Your first look at Chad Ochocinco. I thought the chemistry between Brady and Ocho was off. I thought it was a subpar night for Ochocinco, but we'll get your thoughts at 508-298-0398 next here on the Patriots.com postgame show.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson here to tell you about the second annual Mo Cito Tupu Comedy Benefit. The Mo Cito Tupu Comedy Benefit is back and better than ever. Tuesday evening, August 23rd, will feature special appearances by Hall of Famers John Hanna, Andre Tippett, Gino Castelletti, as well as current and former professional athletes and local celebrities at Gillette Stadium. The evening will feature comedy performances by headliners Lenny Clark, Paul D'Angelo, Paul Narduzzi, Steve Sweeney, and more. With live auctions, silent auctions, and nonstop laughter, this event is a fun evening you won't want to miss. All proceeds will benefit the Mo Cito Tupu Memorial Scholarship Foundation, which provides college scholarships to young athletes with learning differences, exemplifying the outstanding qualities that characterize our dear friend Mo Cito Tupu. Last year's event sold out quickly, so be sure to purchase your tickets today. Visit the Patriots.com website for more details and to purchase your tickets. I look forward to seeing you at the second annual Mo Cito Tupu Comedy Benefit.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be on?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
We cut back beautifully, and now Brady looks to the end zone, wide open, touchdown Hernandez.
Tampa Bay Bucks not ready for the New England Patriots tonight. 31-14 victory over Tampa. What'd you say, Collins?
Archie. This is Archie. He's ready.
That's who this is?
Yeah, his name's Archie.
I gotta tell you, I'm out of the loop, apparently. As it is, Patriots.com. Patriots.com postgame show with Adam Jones, DJ Kevin Collins in there as well. We are live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call. Ace Ticket Hotline, 298-0398. Emails go to webradio@patriots.com. You got your first look at Ocho Cinco tonight. What'd you think? And honestly, I told you, it's at the top of my nitpicks. And how can you really sit here and crush anyone in another blowout win? 31-14 doesn't even come close to telling the story. It's 28-0 at halftime. The yardage at halftime, as I thumb through my esteemed notes, Patriots had 117 rushing yards and 124 passing yards. Tampa had 8 rushing yards at halftime and 79 passing. And a lot of that was when Johnson came in the game. Because I got to tell you, Freeman, we took you through this earlier, is the Bucs drive chart. 3 plays, 1 yard, punt. 3 plays, negative 3 yards, punt. 4 plays, negative 7 yards, punt. 3 plays, negative 9 yards, punt. So that's 3 straight drives where they netted negative yards. 3 plays, 5 yards, punt. 9 plays, 23 yards, punt. 4 plays, 25 yards, missed field goal, end half. That was the Bucs' first half. So the defense, phenomenal tonight. And maybe that's a Freeman thing, or maybe this defense is just better than advertised. Maybe they can get after the quarterback now. Maybe this defense is tailor-made for Jerod Mayo. But I do think that Ocho Cinco, Brady, the chemistry, and as Kevin pointed out, maybe that's to be expected. First preseason game. Got to get it out and start working on it at some point. Maybe tonight was that opportunity. But I don't know. That was at the top of my nitpick list tonight, were the breakdowns between Ocho Cinco and Tom Brady. And my guess, my hunch, would be that they're more on the new wide receiver than on the veteran MVP quarterback. This is just a hunch. But that was at the top of my nitpick list. We mentioned the Tampa Bay drive chart. And you can weigh in on Ocho, by the way. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can also email us, webradio@patriots.com. But we took you through the Tampa Bay drive chart. The Patriots drive chart, a little more eye-opening, a little more impressive. Patriots, after a 3-and-out from Tampa Bay, 5 plays, 64 yards, wound up as a 16-yard touchdown pass, Brady to Aaron Hernandez from a 3 tight end set. Patriots featured that a lot. And by the way, if you're looking at roster spots, the third tight end for most of the night, most of the first half, Will Yeatman, not Lee Smith, as opposed to last week. So file that away. A lot of burn for Yeatman in this game tonight. Does that mean he's going to be on the roster? Say it's a good thing for him through this game. He was one of the guys, underrated night. Good blocks, especially on that 16-yard run by Green Ellis that set up Green Ellis' first touchdown. But that first drive, you saw Danny Woodhead run the ball well, 28-yard run to set up the 16-yard touchdown catch by Aaron Hernandez. Bucks go three and out. Patriots answer right back. 8 plays, 61 yards. Ho-hum. Tom Brady finds Ocho Cinco on that drive. 8-yard touchdown pass again. Out of three tight ends, play action pass. But you remember some of the other highlights on that drive. Ocho Cinco got blown up by Mason Foster. Personal foul. There was that Brady-Ocho mix-up down the left sideline. And Hernandez had a nice 16-yard grab on 3rd and 10. I thought he was one of the underrated standout performers tonight for the Patriots. And I thought he had a good night last week, too. Despite the fumbles, despite putting the ball on the ground, I thought Hernandez has been good. And an obvious target. Obvious target. His skills jump right off the screen at you. In terms of how he gets open, in terms of how he moves after the catch. So I thought he was another standout guy tonight. Patriots get in the end zone, though. It's 14-0. Another punt from Tampa. Patriots go 7 plays, 53 yards. Green Ellis touchdown run was set up by a 16-yard run of his own down to the 1. Another big run by Woodhead on that drive, 14 yards. And you remember, this is the drive where Hoyer gets into the game. Brady takes a snap to begin the third drive. Hoyer comes in for 2 plays. Brady comes right back in. So you got to look at Brian Hoyer, feet thrown to the fire tonight. Not his best effort tonight, Collins.
Nope. I mean, he's my boy, though, so I'm not gonna badmouth him.
I thought he looked very impressive last week.
Yeah.
And everybody was talking about Mallett. I thought Hoyer was just as good last week and probably better.
I'm going to chalk it up to him not being able to get his sea legs back, man.
So, I think that could be part of it, right? He didn't get any extended burn in this game.
No.
Came in mid-drive twice.
Sporadic burn. Yeah.
But you got to – things you have to like about Bill Belichick in these preseason games, right? The fact that last week, and we talked about this a lot, Brian Hoyer got in that 2-minute drill, set up points before halftime, left him in there in that, situationally, left him in there. Tonight, if he is actually the number two and Brady actually goes down, that's how it probably happened.
Yeah, it's a realistic,
mid-drive, certainly how it happened to Matt Castle.
Yep. I agree 100%.
Certainly how it happened to Matt Castle in 2008. And they did that twice.
Yep.
So look, when you do as much of this as you can with Bill Belichick, right? You can only manufacture so many things. Belichick didn't know that Brady was going to get a 2-minute drill anywhere in the first half. I think it's a good thing they did. I think it's something that Brady is ticked off about. And I think it's something that Belichick can harp on.
Yep.
But, you know, those are the kind of things you can't script. This was scripted clearly that Hoyer was going to come in mid-drive. Didn't have a great night.
No.
But I still think that he's had the better preseason than Ryan Mallett to this point. And Mallett did take a step in the wrong direction tonight, especially with that big pick
six.
He looked like a rookie.
Which last week he did not.
No. So, you know, and look, maybe some of that has to do with playing against more talent this week, playing against guys higher up the depth chart. Could be all part of it. And we're going to see that as the preseason progresses. And again, you can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can also email us webradio@patriots.com. It is the Patriots.com postgame show with Adam Jones. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios. Inside Gillette Stadium, Patriots' third drive, we told you, ended up in a 1-yard touchdown run from Green Ellis. Their first of the second quarter, a punt, and we already talked about that Gronkowski offensive pass interference. Brady was also hit on one of those plays. But their fifth drive, their second of the second quarter, led to another Green Ellis touchdown. It was 9 plays, 60 yards. And remember, there's actually a touchdown negated on that drive. It was Dan Copen holding after Green Ellis got in the end zone, which negated a touchdown. Then Wes Welker set it up with a 14-yard grab down to the 1-yard line, and Green Ellis was able to punch it in. And then the first half ended on, I guess you can call it a sour note. Certainly not the high-octane offense that you saw throughout that entire first half. They were backed up in their own end. They picked up a first down on third down on a conversion to Wes Welker, 16 yards on third and 10, after Brady was sacked. And then the offense couldn't pick up any yards. And you kind of had the feeling like they were in business. They were moving the football. They were going to maybe pick up a field goal right before halftime. And they weren't able to do that. That was one of my other nitpicks. And that one, I think, is really qualifies under the nitpick. That they can't operate in the 2-minute drill when they're up 28-0, backed up in their own end right before halftime. But it was an opportunity to get into that 2-minute drill. And it was a missed opportunity for Tom Brady. I did talk about field goals. And Steven Gostkowski did punch one through in that second half. But I do think he's somebody who you have to look at and say, he seems healthy, right? Like, he drilled that 44-yarder in this game tonight. He also hit from 43 and 46 last week. And I think the special teams, by and large, there was one long return in that first half. But for the most part, We've seen kick returns be greatly diminished this preseason with a number of touchbacks. You've seen Gostkowski booming field goals, and certainly nothing from 50-plus, but 3-for-3 in the preseason, all in the mid-40s. I'd say that's a good thing for Steven Gostkowski if you were worried about his health at all. And I think that's something that could have been on your list coming into this season. How's he bounced back from last season? And, but that was another minor thing to file away, that Gostkowski was booming field goals.
For those of you in the Twittersphere, your good friend, Adam, blogger Mike, as I like to call him, Mike Reese,
yep,
was tweeting pregame, watching Gostkowski warm up, pretty much saying that he was good from 55 yards consistently. He was just booming.
I mean, you see the field goals, and the 44-yarder tonight was it was right down the middle, easily would have been good from over 50 in a game situation.
It's an encouraging sign, especially after the injury. And, you know, it would have been a shame to see a guy like that who was having such a promising career get derailed by something like that, especially the fact that they drafted him with a third-round pick. So, you know, they drafted him with the mindset, you know, not that you are the next Adam Vinatieri, but you're our kicker for the next decade, hopefully. So that still looks like it's the plan going forward, which is good.
No, and I think, again, that's a minor one, and that was a minor one last week as well, but I thought that was something that was certainly good news for the New England Patriots. And again, you can weigh in on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, your emails to webradio@patriots.com. Kevin, one of the things that I spent a lot of time talking about during the week on ESPN Boston Radio, we do it noon to 2 every day on ESPNBoston.com. One of the things I spent a lot of time talking about, and I was excited going into the first game against Jacksonville as well, and we just didn't see it because the starters didn't play. How are they going to utilize guys, right? Like, how are they going to use guys in different situations? And I meant that offensively and defensively. Where's Mayo going to line up? And we saw that tonight. Outside wreaked havoc.
Yep.
You know, who are the starting ends? And the answer to that appears to be Andre Carter, Eric Moore. And you got to imagine that Haynesworth's going to be in there with Will Fork if they're in a base 4-3 defense.
And if healthy, that's the big thing.
Well, yes, and that's something we can get to as well in a little bit, because I have my suspicions about that one.
Interesting.
But you talk about you talk about how they utilize guys on offense, and I was curious, what are we going to see? Two tights? Are we going to see three wide? If there's only two wide receivers out there, how do they line up? And it was a pretty clear answer. You're going to be seeing Welker and Ocho, and it's going to be a reduced role for Deion Branch. This is just reading from Mike Reese. And you saw the snaps in the first half, 24 for Chad Ochocinco, who took an extended break on the fifth drive, which wound up being a run-heavy drive for the Patriots. Again, that 9-play, 60-yard drive, that was the Green Ellis punch-in after the Dan Copen holding penalty. But Ochocinco, 24 snaps in that first half. So anybody wondering what his role is going to be, even if you weren't pumped about the chemistry between Brady and Ocho tonight, he's going to be playing a lot. And when you go with two wide receiver sets, for the most part, Kevin, looks like it's going to be Ocho and Welker out there, most likely, with Gronkowski and Hernandez at this point. That looks like it's going to be most of your base offense for the Patriots. And look, they're going to be multiple. You're going to see three wide. Branch will be in there. Maybe Yateman or Lee Smith, or if they bring back Crumpler, whoever that is for the third tight end, they're going to give you a lot of different variations. But in that two wide, two tight end, looks like it's going to be Welker, Ocho.
And it's almost like you're cheating and saying it's a three wide with Hernandez out there, because I consider him, I don't know what your thoughts are on this, but I consider him more wide receiver.
No, that's true. And we saw some of that today, his after the catch ability, his ability to get open. So maybe you can call that a three wide if you want, but personnel wise. If you want to count Hernandez as a tight end, two tight ends out there. But you're right, he's not blocking, he's not getting down and dirty for the most part.
It's interesting you bring up Crumpler's name, though, Adam. A lot of people thought that he was the most likely of that group of cuts to return here.
To be brought back.
But here we are, August 18th, well, 19th now, as it's 12:04 Eastern time here.
Boom.
After the Patriots crushed the Buccaneers.
Time is it in Brazil, do you think?
I don't know. That's a good. We should have asked him.
We should have asked. I don't know what the time difference is.
I feel like we're embarrassing ourselves by talking about this because we should know this.
I don't feel bad about that at all. I have to think about what time it is Pacific Coast time. So yeah, you know, I'm not up on my time changes, Kevin.
But here we are talking a little bit about Crumpler and just touching on that. You got to think this deep into camp, and now with now two preseason games gone, and you're seeing the increased role for Yateman, and you know the way he's playing and the amount of reps he's getting. You got to think that he's the new Crumpler, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, look, you got to think that he or Lee Smith, the plan, the team's indication is clear that one of those guys is going to be the third guy, and it looks pretty clear that it's going to be Yateman. Yeah, no, I mean, I agree.
Have to make that judgment.
Yeah, and look, it looks like Darius Butler's probably on the outs. I don't know that we got a lot for the fifth receiver spot tonight. In fact,
no.
we just didn't. right? Like none of those guys played. Edelman, Tate,
no, none of
Price,
those guys dressed.
They're all hurt.
Yeah,
exactly.
None of them
so, you know, it was a lot of Jeremy Ross, Buddy Farnham, those guys at the end of the game.
Buddy Farnham got his clock clean a couple of times. Poor kid. You just don't like to see it. The local guy just absolutely getting destroyed.
Payback for the interception last week.
So bad.
Give us a buzz on the Ace Ticket Hotline here on the Patriots.com post-game show with Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Doing this after each and every Patriots game, preseason, regular season, postseason. We'll be here for 2 hours following each and every game. Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. That's where Brian writes in, guys, Ocho was all right. Couple of catches and a touchdown. Maybe he stretched the field or lured coverage, but I can't really believe that. Maybe it's possible. Clearly, they need more work on chemistry, being Ocho and Brady. And I think he'd be much better used in three wide receiver sets with Welker and Hernandez in the slot and Branch or Welker on the outside. This is only preseason, though, and I believe that Chad was just getting the feel for the routes where Brady expects him to be in a game-light situation, gaining chemistry while doing this. In my opinion, writes Brian to webradio@patriots.com, we should not take this game seriously on the Brady Ocho side of things yet. It's a progression that will take time, in my opinion. And
yep,
that last part, I agree with 100%. Like, people who are really questioning Ocho and is he going to have a good season? Is he going to be dropping passes left and I'm just not one of those guys. Like, I fully expect him, Kevin, to be productive. I just think tonight was our first look at the chemistry between Brady and Chad Ochocinco. And clearly, it's not anywhere near the same level as Brady and Deion Branch, and maybe it shouldn't be, because those two are much more familiar with one another. One close to Brady Welker, one close to Brady Aaron Hernandez. And I just think that's your first look. It's Patriots fans' first look. For Patriots fans who have been reading up and reading that training camp after training camp, another drop for Ocho, another drop for Ocho.
Ocho Droppo.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, I just think for a lot of Patriots fans getting their first look at him tonight, they probably go, well, okay, maybe I don't feel so great about this.
No. Nope.
Didn't look like him and Brady were totally on the same page.
But you got to think, there were so many times when he was dropping these footballs in camp where you felt like he was thinking too much about where am I supposed to be and at what time I'm supposed to be there. So his head is focusing on his feet almost, and he's not thinking about the football. And I think you got to hope that that'll go away at some point where he can just go out and play football. And because we know when he does that, and we saw it here against us last year, I mean, the Patriots won that game in a rout, but he had a pretty productive game, and he was running all over Brandon Merriweather in that game. I mean, he still can be a productive player if he can kind of find his role here.
Yeah, I agree with that. And look, he's not one of the guys that I'm overly worried about. Though he was somebody I was curious to see, and he is at the top of my nitpick list. Like, I gave you the good, and he was at the top of my bad, at the top of it. And it's him and Brady, although I would imagine it's more. It slanted in the direction of Chad Ochocinco, just given their track records, right? Like, Brady was on target for the most part with every other receiver. The one guy that he seemed a little off base with was Ocho. So what does that tell you? But you just mentioned the name that I haven't even really touched on, and it's Brandon Merriweather. And he's somebody who was out there an awful lot tonight, Kevin. Didn't play on the third drive.
Clock.
Yeah, the big bang clock. Exactly. Wasn't out there on the third drive. Sergio Brown took over for him.
Yep.
Came back in, was in and out of lineup, came back out to start the second half. And I think a lot of people are going to read into that and say, well, okay, he was sat down, and okay, he got a lot of burn. Are they showcasing? I don't know if they're showcasing him and playing him into the second half. Just who else are they going to play at safety?
At this point, nobody.
Especially when Brett Lockett goes down.
And I mean, Jimmy Sanders, another guy didn't
Sanders
dress.
Wasn't there.
A guy that
Lockett
if,
couldn't play.
A guy that, if healthy, you would expect to get some burn back there. And they're just so thin
I mean,
right now.
Correct me if I'm wrong. The guys who are healthy who could play back there, it is Merriweather and Chung who started.
Yep.
Sergio Brown. Like Buddy Farnham?
Yeah, and Lockett. And that's pretty much it.
But Lockett got hurt in the game, Sanders didn't dress.
Yeah.
So it's like, so everybody who's, oh, Merriweather's out there, they're showcasing him, and they're going to trade him like they traded Merriweather. Well, how are they going to do
have
that?
A choice.
Who else were they going to play?
It's a good question.
So I just think Merriweather's one of these guys where for so long, we were talking about this during the week. I was talking about it on ESPN Boston Radio. It was being written about, talked about in a lot of different circles. What does Brandon Merriweather losing snaps mean? What does that mean during the course of the week that Sergio Brown took snaps? And you know what? I think we saw tonight meant nothing. Didn't mean anything. It's the coaching staff trying to get his attention, trying to light a fire under him. I don't know what it is, but clearly he was still your starting safety tonight, and clearly he was out there for the most part with Pat Chung. He was also out there for various points with Sergio Brown. And I just don't know what else you can do bodies-wise at that position.
Like, to be fair, you just mention the names here, right? So take Jimmy Sanders out of the equation completely. Say Lockett's healthy, hypothetically. Lockett, Brown, Farnham, Merriweather. Who are you going to start next to? I mean, you have a gun to your head right there.
Well, see, this is one of the reasons why you just look at that position. There has to be another shoe dropping at that position.
You think so?
It has to be.
Wow. Look, listen to this. 12:10 p.m. Eastern time. Well, Jones is making hot takes.
So, I mean, sorry. I've been saying this all week, and I've been saying this since they had Sharper and Hill in on Monday. And maybe it's not even one of those guys. You can't get by that thin at that, especially now that Lockett's gone down, and that did not look good tonight.
Yeah, but I mean, I just think with him going down, it just means they signed some other jag off the street that you've never heard of to play.
So maybe that's the case. They simply need more bodies in there. I'm not saying it. I would love it to be Darren Sharper.
We still have at least 10, if not more, days till we get that cut from 90 to 75.
So look, I would love for it to be a veteran who I think has some playmaking ability, Darren Sharper type of player.
15 years in the league.
You know, had, what, almost 10 picks a couple of years ago, 8 or 9 picks with the Saints, helped lead that team to a Super Bowl, veteran leadership. And I don't know, those are the kind of players who come in here, and I thought a couple of the guys that I highlighted in the offseason I would love the Patriots to get. Sean Ellis.
Yep.
Derek Mason, who went to the Jets, and Darren Sharper. Those were three where I looked at it and said those guys would be great fits. Those are the kind of guys who come here and succeed. Veterans, proven veterans,
I find it interesting
who want to come
Mason,
someplace and win.
Because he's 37 now. A lot of mileage on the legs. And when you look at the guys that they brought in, Torrey Holt, Joey Galloway, at the same time, it really hasn't worked out. So I find it interesting you say Derek
Well,
Mason.
And it's a fair point. But look, I would put Holt in a more of a route runner category.
Okay.
But, you know, Galloway was a burner. So yeah. I don't know about him and Mason. But look, I would rather have Ocho Cinco. I think Ocho Cinco has
Andy's
a lot more in the tank
5 years
than Derek
junior,
Mason. 100%. You know? 100%.
Especially but if he's going to restructure, too.
But to me, those are just the kind of guys who come in here and have success here.
Okay.
The Masons, the Sharpers, Sean Ellis. Like, those are the kind of guys who are going to come in and have success. And those were guys I identified at the beginning of the preseason. So, is another shoe going to drop at the safety position? Are they going to do something else at the safety? Right now, healthy at the safety position, it's Merriweather, Chung, Brown, undrafted last season, and Buddy Farnham. That's healthy at your safety position because Lockett got hurt and Sanders is out. So that's your safety position going into preseason game number 3. File that away. Ace Ticket Hotline, your phone number, 508-298-0398. You can also email us, webradio@patriots.com. That's just one of those things that I think it's so clear that his job isn't in jeopardy. And that's one thing that I kicked around on ESPNBoston.com all week. ESPN Boston Radio, noon. Is his job in jeopardy? Is he on the chopping block? Is he this preseason's Lawrence Maroney? And I just think it's so apparent now that that's not the case. Not the case at all. Trying to light a fire under him. Trying to get his attention.
Then that's when they smoke it.
Trying to get him to play harder. Right, Bill? Bill knows. So he's trying to get him to go out there and play harder. And that's clearly what it was. Or just go all out on these plays, right? Don't freelance in the defense or you're gonna lose snaps to Sergio Brown. Like, that's the clear message at this point. You know, you cut Brandon Merriweather or you trade Brandon Merriweather, you're looking at two healthy safeties and Buddy Farnham. That's not ideal for anybody. But we did give you our...
Hey, Buddy Farnham had a pick last week, Jones.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Easy on the local board.
Maybe I should be, right? Maybe I should be easier on Buddy Farnham. And Belichick really liked to harp on this coming into the week, that his defense hadn't created any turnovers. Kyle Arrington with a pick tonight. And, you know, you do see Kyle Arrington out there getting a lot of run, certainly in front of Darius Butler. His position on the team seems beyond safe. And I wasn't sure about that coming into this season. I know he started a lot of games last year. But going into the preseason, his role on this team seems beyond safe. And I think you saw some of that tonight, even interception aside. The way he started the game opposite Devin McCourty, I think that tells you a lot about how they view Kyle Arrington, how they view his spot in this secondary for the New England Patriots. But we did give you the good from the Patriots tonight in their 31-14 victory over Tampa Bay, 2-0 now this preseason, coming off a 47-12 victory a week ago. Last Thursday night. You do see a lot of the good from the New England Patriots tonight, and we told them to you, we took you through it, I should say.
Someone's tired.
Yeah, we took you through it, Kevin Collins.
Yes.
Tom Brady, 11 for 19 tonight, 118 yards, 2 touchdowns, and I wouldn't say he was, outside of those, after those first two drives, I think you saw him come down to earth a little bit, but those first two drives, 6 for 8, two touchdowns, just extremely efficient. Patriots started working in the run a little bit more. He's backed up in his own end on one drive, as we talked about. He came out on one drive. Brian Hoyer replaced him. I think you saw him come down to earth a little bit, but he was just so efficient those first two drives, to the point I'm just monitoring the Twitter sphere during the first half, and people are like, take him out. Take him out. You've already seen all you can see.
After the first two drives,
out of Tom Brady tonight.
I was wondering why I was in the game.
Look, I expected him to have a good game. I expected him, maybe not two touchdowns and, 11 for 19, but I expected a good game out of Brady.
Yep.
I just didn't expect to start like that. Like, he picked up like he hadn't missed a beat, hadn't missed a thing, even with an extended offseason and not playing in week one, a shortened offseason, and didn't even play in preseason game number one, didn't miss a beat.
Nope.
And I think that is at the top of the list of good things that happened for the New England Patriots in their 31-14 victory over Tampa tonight. There were a lot of good things in this victory. And we'll give you the entire list coming up next here on Patriots.com postgame show. You can give us a call, weigh in, 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can also email us, webradio@patriots.com. We wrap it up next here on the Patriots.com postgame show.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson here to tell you about the second annual Mo Sifu-Tupu Comedy Benefit. The Mo Sifu-Tupu Comedy Benefit is back and better than ever. Tuesday evening, August 23rd, will feature special appearances by Hall of Famers John Hanna, Andre Tippett, Gino Castelletti, as well as current and former professional athletes and local celebrities at Gillette Stadium. The evening will feature comedy performances by headliners Lenny Clark, Paul DeAngelo, Paul Narduzzi, Steve Sweeney, and more. With live auctions, silent auctions, and nonstop laughter, this event is a fun evening you won't want to miss. All proceeds will benefit the Mo Sifu-Tupu Memorial Scholarship Foundation, which provides college scholarships to young athletes with learning differences, exemplifying the outstanding qualities that characterize our dear friend Mo Sifu-Tupu. Last year's event sold out quickly, so be sure to purchase your tickets today. Visit the Patriots.com website for more details and to purchase your tickets. I look forward to seeing you at the second annual Mo Sifu-Tupu Comedy Benefit.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Brad!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Visitor Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Makes the most of it. Here's a timing throw. Touchdown, Patriots. Ocho Cinco on the payoff end.
It's too easy.
Well, I'll tell you. So they were giving him so much space, and that looked like a complete mental cramp by the defensive backfield for the Tampa Bay Bucs.
And if you're going in, put your hands in the air, make them play that.
Ludacris going in on the verse. Just heard from Don Cricky. Also, Randy Cross, Scott Zolak on Crash Force Productions. Patriots, 31-14 victory over Tampa Bay tonight. Raymond James Stadium.
Good stories.
That was
Scott Zolak at his finest.
Yeah, that's quality takes from Scott Zolak tonight in the Patriots blowout victory of the Tampa Bay Bucks. It is the Patriots.com postgame show. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a buzz. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. And we told you, the good list for the Patriots is a little longer than the bad tonight. Just a little bit. We just gave you Brady. I do think the defense, you just got to look at it. And for everyone saying, well, it's not going to be any different, that 4-3 defense, they're playing it the same way, still two-gapping, still a lot of the same principles that they had in that 3-4 defense. It's not going to be that different. I think that's just been blown out of the water through two games. I thought we saw some of that last week. I thought we saw a lot of that last week. But this was just taking it to a whole other level. The pressure that they got, and maybe this was just a Josh Freeman thing, and Freeman's a guy a lot of people are high on ESPN Boston Radio, noon to 2. We spoke with the NFC South blogger who covers the Tampa Bay Bucks. And, you know, he talked about Freeman's this guy who's ready to take these tremendous steps forward. So, I don't know, maybe it's a Freeman thing and maybe it's a Patriots defense and it's probably more in between. But you look at the night that Jerod Mayo had specifically tonight, and Andre Carter, who as a caller point out, really didn't show up on the stat sheet, but just pinned his ears back, got after the quarterback. Phenomenal night for the Patriots in terms of pressuring the quarterback and in terms of three and outs and keeping Tampa Bay off the scoreboard, specifically in that first half. And I've told you this a lot. It was 31-14, but it was just so much worse than that this game. But I just think the biggest takeaway, like, the offense is good. Shocker. Newsflash. The offense is good. Like, we should know that. But the defense is better than advertised, is at least what I would tell you through two preseason games. I understand what preseason games mean. I get it. But when you look at the way they've gotten after the quarterback, when you look at the way that Jerod Mayo was utilized, I don't know. I think that is right near the top of the list for good things that happened for the Patriots tonight. And maybe Jerod Mayo, one of my criticisms of him, he's a tackling machine, but can he be a quote-unquote productive player? Can he get after the quarterback? Can he create turnovers? Get interceptions, force fumbles, pressure the quarterback. Can he do all of those things outside of just being a sideline-to-sideline tackle guy? And I think you certainly saw flashes tonight. He was a beast. He was an animal tonight. I think that's right near the top of the good list for the Patriots and their 31-14 win over the Tampa Bay Bucks. Let's hit the phones. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. We go back to Los Angeles where Ernest gives us a call here on the Patriots.com postgame show with Adam Jones. What's going on, Ernest?
Hello.
Hello.
Hiya. How you fellas doing?
We're doing excellent, man. We're doing excellent. We got our first look at Ocho Cinco tonight. Ernest, let me ask you, what'd you think about Ocho after the touchdown not doing any end zone celebrations?
I tell you, here's the problem. I was listening to the pregame show,
okay,
and I was drinking just as they told me to do.
Now,
This
is Patriots pregame social you're talking about. Andy Hart,
yeah,
Paul Perillo.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And they encourage
you. And you guys are online. I'm listening. I'm calling. And now here I am. But listen, I would like to ask you what. First of all, I would like to say Kevin Collins He does all right. I don't know why Big Head gives him such a big problem.
He does okay.
He does a good job.
Now, Ernest, he does okay. You're right.
But second of all, I would like to ask...
Though Kevin can be there, obviously, to offer insight.
What are your down points for the game?
My down points for the game, Ernest, I already took you through my nitpicks, or I took most of our listeners through the nitpicks.
Can you hear me? He's passed out.
Well, no, I mean...
I'm sorry.
No,
I know.
Ernest, you were passed out, and I blame Paul Perillo and Andy Hart for that. I blame those two guys for that. Here are my nitpicks.
Me too.
I resign.
Ernest, you want my nitpicks? I got three of them. And tell me if I'm being too harsh. Brady Ocho chemistry, right at the top of my list. I think we saw some mix-ups, mostly on Ocho's part, but I don't think we saw them exactly on the same page. That was one. The backup quarterbacks both took steps in the wrong direction tonight. Hoyer didn't do anything, and Mallett obviously with a killer pick. So I thought they both took steps back. That was number two. And number three, and this is a major nitpick, trust me, I acknowledge that. But when they were backed up in their own end, in the two-minute drill right before halftime, couldn't put points on the board. And that was after converting a first down, got them out of their own end a little bit, gave them some breathing room. They had timeouts. That was your first team offense, and they couldn't put points on the board in the two-minute offense. You know how much emphasis Bill Belichick puts on situational football? That was my third nitpick, Ernest.
Oh, of course. I tell you, it's killing me that I missed the whole game. I tell you.
Well, you know what, Ernest?
Well, anyway,
Ernest, do me a favor.
Hey, I do appreciate.
No problem, man. Appreciate the phone call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Ernest, you can call back anytime. And you know what? Make sure you tune in during the game next week when they play Detroit
on a
Saturday night. If Ernest is doing this on a Thursday night, what do you think he's going to be doing on a Saturday night?
Ernest just made himself a friend of the show right there.
Well, I got to tell you, he's at least a friend to Kevin Collins, right?
I was a little bit skeptical when I put him up on the screener. I was a little bit nervous because I didn't know what might come out, but everything turned out roses here.
You know what? Anytime you compliment Kevin Collins,
I get some shameless self-promotion out of it.
No, see, that's what it is, right? That's what it really is. Like, deep down, that's what it is. Look, you're just like me. You get a compliment, I got to tell you, you're going to be getting on this phone line. You're going to be a good friend of the show when you compliment myself or Kevin Collins. I have a hunch that's how this thing's going to work here on Patriots.com.
Kevin's a good football player. He's smart. He's tough. He's got good skills.
Patriots.com postgame show with Adam Jones alongside Kevin Collins live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call. Use ticket hotline 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. That is where Adam writes in. Hey, Adam, you said you had a theory on Haynesworth. What is it? Love the show. Cheers. That's from Adam in Texas.
Oh, he caught you. You teased it.
You know what?
You're
a billion percent right.
Called you out on
both Adam and Kevin, billion percent right. Teased it. Didn't get to it. I think with Albert Haynesworth, it's pretty simple. And I think you heard a little bit of this with Belichick after the game. Like, Belichick was asked about Mayo on the blitz. And did you hear Belichick's answer when we played this for you right off the top? He said, well, I don't know how much he was blitzing. Like, Belichick is playing this cat and mouse game where it is a new defense. It is a new defense with new wrinkles. And you saw some of that with Andre Carter. And I don't care if they're still two gapping, and I don't care if a lot of the responsibilities are the same. This defense tonight looked like the defense since Bill Belichick has been here consistently. Really? That's what you're going to tell me? So I think you saw a little bit of that gamesmanship from Belichick at the podium. And I think Haynesworth being out is gamesmanship. I think it's plain and simple. If you're unleashing Albert Haynesworth in the preseason, you're giving teams tape. You're giving teams things to look at with Albert Haynesworth where you say, okay, you see him and Will Fork in the middle, how beastly of a combination that can be. You can see how teams attack it. You can see what the Patriots, how they're utilizing Albert Haynesworth. Like, honestly, like, I think most people know in their mind's eye that Haynesworth is going to be a starting D tackle on this team. Like, the fact that when he was first brought in and people said he's going to be a sub-package guy was absurd. Absurd. Yeah, he's just going to be used in sub-packages. Like, that'd be like saying Randy Moss, when they first brought him in, was just going to be used in three wide sets. You know, like, wasn't going to be on the field at all times. So, to me, it's total gamesmanship with both Haynesworth and Sean Ellis. Like, don't tip your hand. Don't show what these guys are capable of. Or, just not even that, just don't show how you're going to use them. And honestly, I wonder how much we see Mayo anymore in this preseason. Like, I wonder how much we see Mayo going after the quarterback. And I think Belichick was just already in damage control when he was asked, well, how much was Mayo blitzing tonight? Or how much did he have? And he just said, well, I don't know how much he was blitzing. Like, almost like saying, well, we weren't blitzing, quote unquote, Jerod Mayo. We weren't sending him after the quarterback. He just kind of happened to bring down the quarterback a couple of times and pressure him.
He happened to run into him.
Like, you could hear that from Bill Belichick because he doesn't want to tip his hand. And it's going to be clear as day on tape. When, you know, the Lions want to look at this, or the Giants want to look at it, or the Dolphins want to look at it going into regular season game number one on September 12th down in Miami. But I just think that's totally what it is. And you got a little window of that with Bill Belichick at the podium last night. What do you mean he was blitzing? He wasn't. I don't know how much he was blitzing.
I love
quarterback
how you said
tonight.
Last night.
Did I say last night?
And it technically
is. Like it was yesterday?
No, it is yesterday.
Well, I was already fast-forwarding into ESPN Boston radio mode, Kevin, which I don't know if you know. You can catch noon to 2 on ESPN Boston. I don't know if you're aware of that.
I've heard. Through the grapevine and through the glass.
But yeah, it's highly rated, I got to tell you. Very highly rated program they have on ESPNBoston.com. But doesn't that have to be what it is? Like, we've seen Haynesworth on the field. And I don't deny that maybe there's not a nagging injury with him. Same thing with Sean Ellis. Like, I don't deny that. But no sense in tipping your hand, no sense in showing what these guys are capable of or how you're going to utilize them. Like, do the Dolphins have to know that Albert Haynesworth is going to be a three-down guy? Or do they have to know that he's only going to be used in sub-packages?
No.
Or they're going to use – like, why even show that? When you have a weapon, especially like Albert Haynesworth, more so than Sean Ellis, when you have a weapon like him, why tip your hand at all?
No, I guess. It's just, it's so suspicious that he's not seen. It's not a big surprise to me that he hasn't been practicing, but that he hasn't been seen in that group with Sean Ellis that's in the sweats, doing the stretching, doing the conditioning run. It's just, it's odd. Like, it's one thing to not have practiced for a week to 10 days, but to not have been seen or heard. Like, nobody knows. He could be in California right now, and I would have no idea. And I mean, you and I, we work here in the stadium. So it's not like we're removed completely from the team and what's going on down the hall, and he's nowhere to be found. And that, to me, is the most concerning part.
No, and look, fair point. It's not as if they're hiding him on the field in the game. Hasn't been seen around training camp. I have a hunch. I have a sneaking suspicion, Kevin.
All right.
We're going to find out on September 12th.
All right.
I have a sneaking suspicion he starts that game. And he's utilized an awful lot in that Miami game.
This is what makes for great radio, because I, on the other hand, think he's not going to be on the roster on
September
12th.
Well, do me a favor. Why don't you mark that down? Why don't you mark down both those opinions? Why don't you clip this little audio? Clip this little audio bit.
Some takes right here.
Starting September 12th against the Miami Dolphins in the middle with Vince Wilfork, Albert Haynesworth, and you're telling me he won't even be on the roster.
That's what I'm telling you.
Asinine.
That's my take.
It's a hot one. I'll give you that. It's a hot take. Where'd you read that? Dan Pompey? Patriots Football Week? National Football Post, I mean?
I did not. I actually thought it was funny when that started to blow up on Twitter the other day. Because it was a simple, like, vanilla comment that, oh, you know, by restructuring, there's not much to lose by cutting him. Okay, like, everyone can draw that conclusion from just reading the story, you know? But it's like, all of a sudden, this one guy hints at it, and all of a sudden, the whole world gets lit on fire.
Well, since I brought it up, let me just touch on that story.
Okay.
I think both guys will clearly be on the opening day roster.
Yeah.
I think this is just a personal theory that I have, but tell me if this sounds like Bill Belichick.
Okay.
Does this sound like Bill Belichick? Gives away draft picks.
No.
Cuts productive veterans on team-friendly deals.
No.
Wastes snaps on veterans where younger players could be utilizing those snaps in training camp.
That's the thing, though. He's not wasting any snaps with Haynesworth. He's not even here.
Correct. With Haynesworth, he's not yet, although on the first couple of days of training camp, he was.
Here's my thing, though, with him. You can say that I think it's fair to say it's asinine that, you know, both those players would be cut. But if you had to choose one, I think most people would say Haynesworth is more likely.
We are in total agreement on that. If I had to pick one, fine. And if there's a flare-up, fine. Like, if Haynesworth comes in here and, you know, he's pulling the same crap he pulled in Washington, right? Yep. He's using a waitress's blouse as a cash register, right?
But here's what we have to find out, though.
His blue card, cha-ching. Right in the cleavage. Like, if he's pulling that, then sure, he's going to be sent out on his ear. Or if he's speeding around, driving like Mario Andretti on the highway, like, he's going to be out of here. Or if he's flopping around on the field, rolling around like he did against Michael Vick last year with the Washington Redskins, right? Like, if he pulls that crap, then yeah, he's going to be out of here. I get that. But if he comes in here and he shows up to meetings on the practice field, isn't a bad guy, isn't a bad egg, right?
But
pulls Randy Moss, Corey Dillon for a year, he's not going anywhere.
But this is what we don't know, though. We don't know whether what's happening right now is due to a physical condition limiting him from participating in practice or at least being out on the field and watching practice. And we don't know if it's that or if it's back to that bad work ethic and that being a bad egg and not wanting to practice and just wanting to play. Like, you can't, and that's part of the mystery of Belichick and what this team does, because none of us have a clue. Like, if you were to try to make an educated opinion on what you think the reason for him not being out there is. It's just a complete crapshoot. It's a complete guess. And you're full of you know what if you think that you know why he's not out there.
No, your guess is as good as mine. Your guess is Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, emails to webradio at Patriot. Your guess is as good as mine.
But I
think he's out there starting on September 12th against the Miami Dolphins alongside Vince Wilfork.
The one thing you can say about us is at least we have the cojones to go out there and stand on the limb and actually tell it like it is and what we think is going to happen. There's no riding the fence here on this program.
No riding the fence on the program. Me or you are going to be right on September 12th.
That's fine.
Not a lot of leeway. Not a lot of gray area on that one, Kevin.
I hope you're right.
You hope it's me.
I hope you're right.
Well, that makes two of us. I hope it's me, too. It is the Patriots.com postgame show with Adam Jones and Kevin Collins. We are live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. We told you can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio at patriots.com. I just think... I just don't think he needs to be cutting guys to win over that locker room. That's the one thing I go back to as well. Like, who's doubting Bill Belichick anymore on his control of the locker room after how he handled Randy Moss last year? Like, you flare up, boom, you're gone. Week four, mid-round draft pick, you're out of here. Like, who in that locker room, who in the NFL is doubting Bill Belichick anymore or questioning that he has complete authority over that locker? That's the other thing I go back to. It's like, hey, he's in the business of giving away draft picks, cutting players on team-friendly deals, and... you know, prohibiting guys from getting reps in practice, all to prove that he can win over his locker room when he proved it last year.
The bells go off with me with the reps in the practice and the draft pick. Like, they gave up a fifth round pick. I don't think he's going to.
But okay, fine. So I don't think a fifth round pick is significant either. But does Bill Belichick strike you as someone who's just
going to toss away
giving away draft picks? No, he loves fifth round draft picks, Kevin.
Yeah.
He trades for fifth round draft picks all the time, all the time.
I know.
Like, he probably can't wait to get a late round draft pick for Brian Hoyer. Like, that's like high on his offseason to-do list. So he's not just in the business of giving them away.
You could see him sit back in his office just plotting, like oh, yes.
Like I can't wait for that fourth round
pick. Come to me, fourth round
pick. Like a billion percent, yes.
Petting a cat with no hair on it, maybe.
So, yeah, I mean, you can just see it. And I don't know. I just thought that one, I respect Dan Pompey. I do.
I got one more thing to get to before we close the
Fine,
show. Something
it.
That we haven't touched on
hit
yet.
Hit me with it.
And that our stat extraordinaire Matt back here brought up to me.
Great.
There's some pieces of news coming out of the Tampa Bay locker room.
Okay.
I won't call them excuses, but they're kind of explanations for why their first team defense struggled so much against the Patriots' first team offense.
Fine.
And what I'm seeing here is Gerald McCoy, the Tampa Bay first-round draft pick from this past year, who went up against Nate Solder for most of the night, and he's sitting here belly-aching about the pace of the Patriot offense and that it was too fast and they didn't have time to set up before the Patriot offense had already snapped the ball and got into the play, and he kind of using that as an explanation for why they struggled so badly, which I think is kind of funny because if you're already in the business of making excuses in week two of your preseason NFL career,
it's not
you're
a good
probably
look.
Not cut out for this
it's,
league.
It's not a good look.
And now that I think about it, wasn't there a situation on the goal line where the Patriots rushed up to the line? I think it was on one of Ben Jarvis's touchdown runs. He ends up getting in the end zone, and you see a flag on the field, and you think, man, this might be an illegal procedure. It might be that they were lined up wrong. And it was a legal substitution. Tampa Bay had 12 men on the field, and they couldn't get their 12th guy off. And you thought, well, that's why Brady snapped the ball. That's why everything looks so disjointed. So it's starting to make sense now. But I just think it's an interesting little nugget coming out of that locker room.
I got to tell you, it's a young team. And I know we spent some time on this just previewing them during the week on ESPN Boston. They're a young team. It's like 70-something players out of the 90 or 25 or younger on that team. And I don't know. I just feel like they're a team along with Kansas City that's just due to come crashing back down to earth after last season.
Direct quote from McCoy here in his post-game conference. He says, I was like, dang, Mr. Brady, can we line up?
That's it. That's the whole thing. Mr. Brady, excuse me. Give us a little, we're trying to line up over here, Mr. Brady.
We're trying to play this crazy game of football.
Pump the brakes.
Could you please slow it down a little bit?
Hold your horses, sir.
I'm running out of breath. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine him standing in a three-point stance looking at Brady over center? Brady's yelling out his signals, and he just gets up. Wait, timeout, timeout, timeout. Could you please go a little bit slower? I'm very confused. I don't understand what's happening.
Like, I got to tell you.
It's almost like crying uncle.
I got to tell you, excuses in the preseason, not a good look, Gerald McCoy. That is something you may want to work your way past as you turn into an NFL veteran. Like, that is not a good look, making excuses in a preseason game for the other team moving too fast offensively.
And to be fair, I thought that coming into tonight's game, Adam, one of the interesting matchups in tonight's game would be McCoy if he got lined up across from Soldier. Here we go, two first-round picks, early preseason game.
Let's see how they fare.
You know, drafted fairly
soon. How they do it.
I think McCoy might have been 21st in the draft. So, you know, drafted in that same area, a guy that the Patriots basically passed on. Let's see how they do going head-to-head. And after what I saw tonight and what I'm hearing here in the postgame, you got to say that they made a decent decision.
No, look, it was another win for Nate Solder this week. And 2 weeks in a row, he's held up. He's held up just fine, A-OK. Last week it was with your backup quarterbacks. This week it was with your franchise MVP quarterback, and he held up just fine on that blind side, Nate Solder did. As we wrap things up here, on the Patriots.com postgame show with Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium, Patriots do score a 31-14 victory over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Two touchdown passes for Tom Brady. Two touchdown rushes for Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, who joined us on the program. If you missed any of that, you can check out the full podcast at Patriots.com. Also, Jerod Mayo, a standout performer on defense for the Patriots tonight. Five tackles, two sacks, and two passes defense. We will talk to you next Saturday night when the Patriots are in Detroit. It's an 8 o'clock kickoff. We'll be here for 2 hours following that preseason game. We will talk to you on Saturday night here on Patriots.com.
This has been the Patriots Postgame Show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com Radio. For more news, analysis, and reaction from today's game, tune into Patriots.com Radio all week. Tuesday through Thursday, starting at noon, it's PFW in Progress, Patriots Playbook, and the Pete Shepherd Show. Next Saturday night, the Patriots are in Detroit to take on the Lions. Tune in to the Patriots postgame show immediately following the game. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite teams.